Yesterday I was eating lunch in a Mexican food restaurant, and I couldn't help but notice their decorations, and I don't think it was all just for Halloween. This seemed to be a permanent decoration that they had there, and it was a crossbone and a skull about this big. And that, I don't know if you've noticed how that has become prevalent in our culture. You see it now constantly on tattoos and other places. It is, has become kind of the symbol, if you will, of not only death, but I think evil. And there is a big problem of evil in our culture. And I want to look at that today as our study. The problem of evil, where has this come from? How has it come about? Why? The problem of evil has baffled the minds of the greatest philosophers and theologians since the beginning of time. And in Scripture, the books of Job and Ecclesiastes are but a record of the same perplexing subject. And what is the conflict of the ages? It is the conflict of good and evil. And we've spoken with regard to this in a couple of our last lessons that had to do with principalities and powers and their influence on the world today. We find the theme of Genesis and Revelation, the same problem. It is a problem that has plagued the mind of any one of us at some point in our life. It simply does not go away. It has been a perennial theme for students, philosophers, and preachers alike. Now, one of the interesting points with regard is it should be noticed that while we all have our problem concerning the origin and the nature and the beginning of evil, there's no such problem of good. The question never comes up. Good is given a break as to its origin, unlike evil. It, for some reason, elicits less scrutiny than evil in our minds. And opinions concerning evil range from that which regards God as the creator of all things, so he must have created evil. He is the author of evil, and not merely as a penalty for sin, but evil in its moral aspects, just evil, period, itself. Then the other extreme is that man has total denial that evil has even existed at all. And the problem is further exacerbated by the fact that what was good for some, for example, Israel, under the law, may be evil for those who are under grace today. So as always, we must look at the Scripture to appreciate this great theme. And in view of the many extreme and complex opinions that have no validity whatsoever, we must go to Scripture for direction with this problem. First, some simple statements of fact. One, good occurs in the record of creation several times. God made the earth and said it was good. The seas, the grass, the seeds, he said was all good. Herbs, good. The sun, the moon, for light by night and day, good. He made the whales and the fowls and the animals, the cattle. And every time, specifically, he said it's good. But then when he made man, specifically, he did not say it is good. That's an interesting fact, that the evil, it doesn't seem to find itself in creation, and it doesn't seem to be that man was pointed out specifically to be good in the process. Second, evil does not occur once in the record of creation in the book of Genesis. The third thing I would point out, evil is introduced into the narrative of Genesis where man, a moral agent, is being tested. That's the first where you begin to get a sense of this problem of evil comes into play. What does this imply? Well, there's three things that I've thought of that I would point out for your thinking. Number one, the fact that good can be attributed several times to creation without the necessity of evil as a foil teaches us that good is positive and not dependent upon evil. It's not there as a part of goodness. It's not the antithesis of good. Let me give you an example. Darkness is the antithesis of light. But light is positive and does not depend on darkness. This seems to be collaborated by Einstein. He said, there is no such thing as darkness. No such thing as darkness. Only the absence of light. We know God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Good, therefore, is not a relative term, but a positive one. Number two, in the creation of everything evil is unknown. Like I said, it's not spoken of. It doesn't come into play when you talk about this creation process. It's not until man is called upon to choose does evil come into play. Not until desire, leads to action does evil itself emerge. The tree of Genesis chapter 2 verse 9 is not called the tree of good and evil, but the knowledge of such. And the knowledge did not reside in the tree itself, but was in man's reaction to the prohibition of the fruit of that tree. The whole question revolved around the choice of man. Here again, we begin to see, where does this evil come from? Number three is a surprise. There is no such thing as good or evil. No such thing as good or evil. It cannot be created. It can only be good things or evil things. But when we deal with evil and the problem, we are not dealing with a substance that exists somewhere in the bulk that is definitively described or something that you can tie into or hack into. It comes, it's visceral. It becomes as a result of a decision of man in his life. Evil is the result of thought, desire, choice, or will. And it's so easy to get caught up in it and make the wrong decision in your life. Genesis 8:21 says that it is from the imagination of man's heart. And here in Genesis is the essential nature of evil. In the account of Adam and Eve's temptation, we find the nature of evil itself. Evil is something presented in such a light that is considered to be good. We say it again. Evil is something presented in such a light that it is considered to be good. Evil is not pursued or practiced for itself. The evil course is followed and is its consequences accepted because it has been made to wear a false mask or appear as something good. The human mind God has so constructed the human mind that it will seek that which is good, and this lies at the root of life itself. Here then, in this Genesis story, Satan has slipped the mask of good over the features of evil. Let's look at that. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Satan has, like I said, slipped a mask over that which was not good to make it appear good. And, you know, we've talked about this. Remember on our lesson here 2 or 3 weeks ago with regard to principalities and powers? What was the battle plan? What was the battle plan of the prince of the powers, of principalities and powers? The lust of the flesh. That's what these principalities and powers and Satan, they appeal to the lust of the flesh. Eve. You will not die. Eve, your eyes will be opened to good and knowledge. Eve, ye shall be like God. That's good. That's what you'll be like. Eve, the food, oh, it's good. It tastes good. Eve, it's pleasant and good to look at. Eve, it will make you good and wise. Now, Satan, he himself, has already fallen. He looked upon God and saw that it was good, and iniquity was found in him, and he said, I'll be God. Human activity and response now come into play with what? Free will. You have this choice within yourself to make. That's where the evil comes from. Satan, having stimulated the interest of the woman and justified her disobedience as good, is what he did. He touches the inner springs of action and can now leave the rest to work itself out, the results of the decision. You see, once evil can be made to appear good, sin will inevitably follow. The battle plan of principalities and powers and Satan is to foist upon you the lust of the flesh. We see it today. Dave made reference to it in the scriptures that he read. Hey, man. If you will just use this substance, this designer drug, too much alcohol. If you just do this, you'll feel good. But it ends up in addiction. Hey, girl, premarital sex, it feels good. It is good. You do it. Why not? Ending in fatherless homes, AIDS, etc. Hey, society, Satan says, cohabitation is good. It saves money. That's a good thing, isn't it? Hey, society, no censorship is good. Freedom of speech, you know. Or take God out of everything. It would be good not to offend someone. That's becoming the siren call today. God nowhere. Other things, cheating is good, etc., etc. Through body, soul, spirit, and mind, man is assailable wherever evil can be made to appear as good, and the consequences will be sin. And you see it today with the young folks, particularly, and I'm not jumping on them, but it's just there. It's the attitude, if it feels good, do it. It appears good, do it. But evil is a result. The perfect example, of course, is what we looked at. Eve was beguiled by Satan. In 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 3, it says the same thing. She was beguiled, the man was not. Adam was not. He was not beguiled. 2 Timothy 2:14. We read there where he was not beguiled. And one might say that Adam knew what he was doing, and therefore the argument as to the essential nature of sin breaks down. But I don't think that's true. Adam took of the fruit of the tree knowing that Satan had dressed up evil to appear good. He was not beguiled. He was not deceived. He knew what he was doing. The most common thought is that Adam was shifting the blame onto Eve. And I don't think that's true. Being that he was not beguiled by Satan. He was deceived by his own thought process. That's how he was deceived. As to what was good. He knew that by Eve's act of disobedience, that she was already separated from him by sin, which would involve death. And it seemed better to Adam to perish with a woman he loved rather than to live in solitude and grief. It seemed like a good idea at the time, and that's the problem with most evil that comes about. I know when I was in high school, there was occasion when it seemed like a good idea at the time. And I was caught up in that. Until the very last minute, something took over within me and I walked away. And the next day, the rest of the group were in jail. It seemed so good. Satan throws this stuff up and he says, Eve, surely you won't die. By refusing, Adam would have remained alive. She would have been dead. But in doing so, death entered for the human race because the sin of one was in the blood of the man, of the male. And once it was there, then became the necessity for the virgin birth. Adam's action but confirms the fact that man's choice to act counter to that which God has created as good brings about evil. And the devastating choice is always considered to be good until the consequences are known. And in this case, it was death. Now you know that I prefer to teach from contradictions in the Scripture, right? I like to teach from contradictions in the Scripture. Turn to Isaiah chapter 45. I want everybody to see this, Isaiah chapter 45. Beginning with verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. How do you answer? We'll pick up the subject next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness towards us. How grateful we are for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. How grateful we are for this written record that you've given us. What a magnificent piece for us to open our eyes and our understanding that we may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. I just pray that you will be with us. Give us strength that we may walk in the vocation wherein we are called, that we may continue to try to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.